to do where we could evaluate ourselves and to prepare and plan for the upcoming year. School teachers don't usually get to school 5 minutes late when the class is already there to begin teaching. They're preparing days and weeks and months ahead for that opportunity. So too, we should be as the new year's coming. Pete Wigdor has been a friend of mine ever since I've been out here in Buffalo. He really reaches out to ministries all over West New York. He's a friend of a lot of pastors. He has an incredible outreach in the city. And we've asked five, what I consider to be strategic men in West New York to preach for us this year, pastors. We've had missionaries in the past. We've had evangelists in the past. But this year, we have local church pastors. And how about we give Brother Pete Wigdor a nice round of applause. Brother Pete.
So it's part of his plan, huh? Hope I don't scare you this evening. But yes, it's been a true blessing. I think the first time we met was at Prospect for Missions Conference, I believe. Yeah, I believe so. And then Pastor Gugino, and then me and him were just tagging along all through New York on deputation back in the day. I hated deputation. I wanted to get busy doing the work, you know. We're out there trying to raise up money and all that kind of stuff, and I feel like I was like a dog and pony show or something, you know. You know how that? I'm just a city boy, so I am what I am, right, folks? I just want to get dirty, get busy, start doing the work, and here I'm begging for money. Can you support me? I don't care for $10, like a little puppy dog. Is there still those dog commercials? Lost puppies and dogs. I can't watch those. I'm gonna adopt like 15 of them, you know. So turn it off. Man, I can't do that, you know. So I just appreciate you. Listen, this is an honor and privilege. I haven't been here for a while. I'm so happy you asked me to come. And a lot of our folks from Prospect now here. Amen. So you might get, I don't know if you got used to me back then. You might know, but hopefully we'll bring back flashbacks. Hope not nightmares. Amen. But I'm here. I hope I could be an encouragement this evening. And my wife would have been here, but she started, what? What's this? You doing exercises? Oh. For other days like this. You got to stand up and do jumping jacks. You can't do that in the back sitting down, Brother Dave. That's not jumping jacks. Right here? You sure you want that high? I get loud, you know. Okay. Yeah, okay, that's good. I remember one time we were street preaching. A cop came up to me and said, you need to put away your megaphone. I go, I don't have one. I got that at birth. It's called being part Sicilian. Italian part of me, you know, you got to do this, and it gets loud in my house, you know. There's only one volume that's loud. So that's how it was. He's looking at me like, he didn't believe me. I said, watch, I'll preach at some time. You know, that's the way it is. All right, well, turn over to 2 Timothy, be good. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many folks love your Bible? Amen. We're going to read a whole chapter. How do you like that? Amen. Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Your pastor gave me the theme, so I'm going to give you a little bit of the theme. And I might walk around a little bit because I don't like standing in one spot. I kind of get excited a little bit. Just people that don't know me, I'm Pastor Pete Wigdor of Charity Baptist Church. Charity Baptist Ministries in inner city Buffalo. We have a little street work. Every swap we preach on the street. On Tuesday nights, we have some of our folks who are at the corner. We make a lot of noise at the corner, preaching, passing out tracts, and have some fun. The cops are finally getting used to us, amen, over there, over the past 10 years being there doing that. There's always that one that gets frisky, you know, and then they have to call five more down here, and that's just that church over there, you know. And so they kind of like let that thing slide, and we have a rescue mission service on Tuesday, bring a lot of folks in the neighborhood They might need a hot meal or some donated clothes, or give them a lot of the gospel tracts on the way out and so forth and so on. Brother Vicar brought up something here we used to do on a regular basis on Saturday. A lot of our homeless folks that used to live in the back of the woods near the junkyard used to come visit us on Saturday mornings. We'd give them like some donuts and coffee and give them a shower, you know. Minister to them a little bit to help us out where we're doing, pray with them. You know, those folks are all gone now. They don't live there no more. Some deceased, some moved on. Somebody got in the VA. A lot of them were homeless veterans, and they got them enrolled in places where they can get housing and get some vocational training, get some jobs like this they can earn. So God's kind of worked on that part of the ministry. More homeless folks come, we'll start all over again, amen? But it's all available there. We do, I know you guys have an RU program here. We kind of do a lot of mentorship. We used to be able to house them, but the state of New York and OSHA and all the rest of Erie County and all the other codes they have around here kind of like wasn't going to be feasible. So we kind of redirect them other way places. We kind of work with them on a one-on-one basis of that stuff. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, were you planning on that video, right? About the, you know, that kind of thing, all these, every week you have something like that? So share kind of a little bit of the opposition. Well, that's going to hit the message. Perfect. Here in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, Paul took a young man like Timothy under his wing to kind of train him up, getting ready for the ministry and so forth. And a lot of things, you know, I hate to say this, one of the biggest, I believe, wrongdoings to our young people growing up in a Christian home and the church, so forth, is to shelter them. I think it's one of the worst things you can do. That's my opinion. But I think you should prepare them to be integrated in life, to be a light and to be the salt of the earth. Let them sit there and see what they're going to be up against when they become independent outside your home. And I believe it's something here. We can shelter them as long as you want. But once they go out there, they start, like I had never dabbled. I'm not talking about dabbling, but they need to see the choice making, the decision making, understand where there's consequences, but understand where sin will take you. And a lot of times you have to go out there and show them. It's going to be in the workplace, right, folks? It's going to be here and there. So I just want to say, here's a young man in Timothy, was raised by his grandmother and his mother. And here's a preacher named Paul, okay, that was never married, teaching this young man to get ready for the ministry, getting prepared for the reality of ministry. If I knew what I know now about the ministry, hey, the ministry's great, except for the people. Okay? Everything's great, except for the it's a people thing. So you got to deal with the good and bad. It's like marriage. You know, there's days where your wife, like, who is that woman? Is that the one I married? And there's days, you know, you're so happy that she's there with you. You're like, you don't know which one woke up. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Vic? You know, there's a seat between the two. They're not sitting together. But but now, look at over there. Look in that corner. They're sitting nice and close. See that? Yeah. But they can still elbow and, you know. I'm just trying to tell you, just we got to be very, very careful when it comes to when you get us ready for the world. I wish I knew some of the things that go on in Christianity today. And you just scratch your head and you're going, man, God has a lot of fixing to do. He's going to do a lot of sorting up in heaven, amen? He really is. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Be careful. There's a lot of them like that, right? Covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. I want you to notice they're unthankful. That's a pretty big one right about now. Listen, a lot of people sit there and they don't want to support our ministry because we give a lot of things away. But you know what? I make the call many times to see if they truly need it or they're just too lazy to need it. Did you get that? If they really need it, I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to help them. But I can't provide everything. I'm not social services. But if they need a jacket, we'll find them a jacket. If they need a food basket to get to the next paycheck, they're going to get a food basket. If they're going to need some clothes for little children because their kids don't have any clothes, we're going to get to them. We're going to send them in the right direction to get set up so they can get themselves established. We had a lady come to our church right, straight from Jamaica. She's only been here for 6 months, Sonia. And we found out, sitting down and talking, she found out that she was looking for a job working with animals. So we got her a job at the animal shelter. We we kind of line everything all up. She did it in Jamaica. And now she has a job. And I said, why did you want this job so bad? She goes, listen, I know I still get a little bit of help with rent vouchers and food stamps, but I want to save up money so I can bring the rest of my family from Jamaica here and bring them to church. Says, we're on. So we're helping with the paperwork. We're writing character references when that time comes so they can get their visa cards to come on over, hopefully their green card, so they can be a family again. Welcome to the city. That's one of many cases. We have Muslim folks right next door. And guess what they're there listening to every Sunday morning with the windows open in the summer? They're hearing the gospel. They've been invited over plenty of times. They hear the singing. Okay? The lost, the unsaved man next door, that's an environmentalist, like I call him Greenpeace guy, I call him. You know, he's out there drinking coffee at the picnic table, hearing my preaching every Sunday in the spring, summer, and fall. He loves it. He goes, I love your preaching. So why don't you come in? He goes, I'm good outside. Hey, as long as you hear it, amen. It's all that matters. It's listen, but we got a generation that are unthankful. It's not good enough, you know? Like we had Thanksgiving, they go, Where's the ham? We don't have ham on Thanksgiving. It's like the turkey wasn't good enough. I mean, you could not be eating at all. You see, when you hear certain things, these are folks that are homeless. I go, you have nowhere to live. Don't you have? Do you see? It's already embedded in them. It's like, where did this come from? Well, it's those last days. They say it's going to be like that. And it goes, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Boy, is that truth. Can I find out, listen, you can try to do all the song and dance in the church, try to appeal people to come in. If they do not love God, they're not coming in. Because once they get sick of the same song and dance you give them in the church house, they're going to walk out. Okay, I'm done with it. I'm bored. And they're going to find something else that appeals to their senses. It starts with loving God. First get saved, start falling in love with God. It goes on a bit further at verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. We had a few of those. Had a guy to go down, I know him for 25 years, 30 years. He has 3 degrees at 3 different universities down in Florida. He's so intellectual, he's so dumb. Serious. He's so intellectual, he's lost his mind. He don't have the mind of Christ. He has a mind of lunatic. He became a lunatic. Okay? From every angle, of every sort. Some of the stuff he talks to, wow, this guy is definitely correct, but then you see his outside lifestyle doesn't match up to the doctrine and the lifestyle. There's no Christ-likeness at all. It's all up here, but it's not down here. The man is a Navy, used to be in the Navy SEAL. Doctor 3 degrees. He has all his, you can see all his degrees. He brags about his degrees. He wants to start a Christian college. He's even graduated from Crown College right here with a PhD. But he's far, so far from God. I even had a question of salvation. So you ever done that before? To him, I did. When did you get saved? When did you get to know God? You know of God and all the facts and knowledge of God, but when did you get to really know God? There's a difference. He looked at me and he goes, I don't like your question. I said, I'm just asking. You got a whole bunch of stuff, but I don't hear nothing. I'm concerned. What are you doing to the people? He wanna start a King James gang. I go, what is wrong with you? We'll get the leather jackets. Go, he's lost his mind. I go, you gotta go. Bye-bye. And he took his wife with him. But yeah. At Charity Baptist Church. He took his shows to another church. So he had to let him know another pastor. And he took it and he's just started going around trying to find a place to fit in. If he comes here, hear about all that stuff, say goodbye to him. Okay? I'll let you know now, okay? I'll send you a picture. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, then of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now look at now, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. This is Paul trying to persuade and get him in a right frame of mind, Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. You want to get some respect out of somebody? You want a disciple mentor, which is a lost art today? We got a lot of programs, but there's no personal discipleship, no personal mentorship. We become so active in the church, we become impersonable. That's not church. Back in the day, we used to care for one another, pray for one another, lift each other up, edify. That's like a lost art today. We need to get back to that. But it says here, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecution, affliction, which came unto me in Antioch, in Antium, in Lystra, which persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Boy, that's a tough guy right there, ain't it? Sometimes you got to go through some things. Verse 12, yea, all that they will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You saw the video, right? Okay, and there's many others. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now I want you to notice here, verse 14 in my text, okay? Look what Paul says to Timothy in verse 14. But continue. That's my edification to you this evening. But continue. You might say it's going to end. I know everybody's like, you know, Brother Jason, I can't wait till Jesus comes back. Yeah, you're right. I can't end it. But you know what? I'm going to continue. There's a job to get done. We're still here. We need to occupy until he comes. We got some things we got to take care of. We got to sit there and plant some seed. We got to water some seed. We got to till the ground. We got to minister. We got to encourage. We got to edify. We got to build up. So we might have to tear down some walls in our life. We might have to pluck out some things. We have to ask God to help us get closer to him. To be more Christ-like, we got to sit there and get ready. You know, everything you do here when you come, hey, every time you open your Bible in the morning and you pray and you get alone with God, every time you walk into this church house, sit right down, everything you're doing here is in preparation to do it for eternity with the Lord. Worship. 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 Starts with you and inside of you. Starts at home, when you're all alone with them, and it starts when you all come together and we gather together. We worship unto the Lord. Guess what? Every day you're preparing for eternity. And it goes down a bit further here. It says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which I have learned. How many here? How many have been saved for 30 years? Have you learned some things? Continue on. You might have another 30. Not me. You just never know. Hey, my grandmother didn't die until she was like 89, 90. Man, I got a lot. I still got almost 40 years, 42 years left in me. What are you going to do at 90? I don't know. I'll find something. Just give me my walker. I'll get busy. I'll just take Vicks. Until his knee gets healed. Once your knee heals up, give me your walker. Amen? But continue thou in the things that I have learned and has been assured of. I want you to notice that, assured of. Assured of. This is all in way of introduction, by the way. We're going to get to the message, like a three-point message, drive-by shooting message, okay? Assured of. If you've been saved long enough, you should have some assurance of some things. You really should. So things, and they usually could become convictions. So listen, the reason why I say that is very important. If you have some assurance of things, some assured items in your life between you and the Lord, because guess what? There'll be people out there going to persuade you another direction. There'll be Christians trying to persuade you in a different direction. You're going to hear some doctor going to be talking saying, if you know your Bible first, I remember when I first got saved, I did a big boo-boo. Okay? I was intellectual. But actually, I was dumb. Okay? This guy here was going to UB. Yes, a city slicker going to UB. Got a scholarship. Guess what I was going to UB for? Ready? Engineering. I was the only English-speaking person in my class. I already was from a different country. And my professor was also English-speaking and American. We had people from Thailand and Vietnam and Korea and India, Pakistan and this stand and that stand, all kinds of stands. And I was sitting around going, no one spoke. It was like a library in there. I go, my goodness, what's going on? And this is my professor. I learned absolutely nothing. He started from one left-hand side. No, it was that engineering calc. Engineering calc was started from left-hand side. He wouldn't even look at the whole 500 lecture hall. He started walking chalkboard all the way down. Like this. This is now. This is an hour and 10 minutes. Okay, I'd rather watch paint dry. Okay, took the thing like this, And I'm sitting there going, what's going on? Ever learning, never come to the end of the truth, right? Assurance, assurance, assurance. Listen, there's some things you got to get settled down in your life. Make sure you got to settle down because someone's going to try to persuade you in another direction. You know? And here's another thing, too, that we're actually doing our Thursday night Bible study. Learning how, we're teaching our folks how to, some apologetics. How many know what that is? It's not giving the sermon an apology, okay? That's not that. That's what one of the persons told me. Is anybody going to learn how to give an apology? No. Start right from the definition. I'm going to move on, okay? When people sit there and they try to tell you otherwise, there's a lot going on, even in the Baptist ranks, by the way. Be very careful. Very careful. And they want to bring up certain doctrines. They still, some of the our own Baptist brethren in our circle sit there and take a verse and take it out of context. And I sit there and say, go ahead. I'll give you the whole stage first. And I'll sit down. And I love it because they think because I'm from the city, I'm dumb. I play dumb. Okay? Just like the boxing thing. That's right. Just sit there, just be quiet, let them talk. Okay? You know? Then we sit there. And then all this highfalutin stuff comes out of my mouth. Set them up. It's called city stuff. Okay? And I wait for the big ones, sit there and talk about certain things. I say, that's good. Let's sit down here for a second. Let me go ahead and continue on. Let me start talking about doctrine and showing scripture. I said, you're trying to tell me this otherwise. It says, if it's consistent from the book of Genesis to the end, right to the last word of Revelation, so consistently, then that's doctrine. You're showing me three things, all you can find in three spots. Whole entire Bible. You can't show me any kind of cross references. You can't show me any other consistency based on those 3 points you're showing me because you only got 3 verses on it. Guess what? It's not doctrine. And that's exactly how quiet it gets, just like that. Can I tell you something? Assurance. Assurance. He says, so he's getting to the point of what you learned and what you assured. And he goes, and of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Your source. Listen, I have a lot. Listen, I'd rather learn a lot more from a person that's been saved for 50 years and not a pastor. They love the Lord. They have developed a, how can I say, a beautiful Christ-likeness, contentment that loves the Lord. You get a lot out of that. Amen? You can learn a lot from a layman. There's a man named Chuck Colson, not the Pentecostal preacher Chuck Colson. There's a man up in Canada. He used to be a Canadian state trooper. And he got called to preach. He's a man of, he knows his forensics, okay? The guy is good. This guy is top notch. Look him up. Not the Pentecostal preacher. He was raised and taught by the layman of a church, not the pastor. This man, you listen to his preaching. You listen, read his book like on the Velveteen Rabbit. Remember the Velveteen Rabbit? He preaches a message on the Velveteen Rabbit. He preaches on Frankenstein. You read the original Frankenstein? He preaches on that. I say, why in the world? Because it relates it to Christianity. How we look all good on the outside, but we're hollow in the inside. I mean, just something like that. He brings a great angle on it, and boy, is it's strong. You've got some of the preaching message. I guarantee you'll get a blessing out of it. Just Google it up and grab it. But I want to share with you some things this morning. I'm already sleeping, amen? Now, I want you to notice here, he tells Timothy, but continue thou. And I want to charge you to continue thou. And the first thing I want to share with you here is that we have a great opposition, which is the world, amen, our flesh. We saw this all around. Look at the things happening here in America today that we need to realize we're going to come to the point that we're just going to have to continue on. We shouldn't falter. We shouldn't crumble. We shouldn't be silent. We Christians have been too silent. I'm not saying we have to protest. I said we've been too silent. Let's pray real quick because I want to see if I can get good God on all this thing. Lord, thank you so much for this time. And Lord, I pray you bless this message now. Lord, I pray to be in tune with you. And Lord, put me aside and you do the work this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. How many here remember when prayer was taken out of school? What year was that? Remember 19 what? 63. Okay, and that's 1963. Then there was another thing too, where we as a society had to accept alternative lifestyle, homosexuality, okay, which proceeded right after that. Then there was, after that, one after another kept coming in there. We started getting, the Pledge of Allegiance in school became offensive to everybody, so they had to stop also. We started going on now to the point where we have to, like you said, embrace same-sex marriage, okay, that kind of, all everything that goes against the Bible. And so now as a Christian, we make a stand, we're getting persecuted. But now, you see, I'll tell you something here also. It wasn't mentioned here, but we have no problem for Muslims to pray at their time so don't discriminate against their religion, but we can't pray over our lunch in the lunchroom. How do you know that? Because I can't pray at work over my lunch because it offended somebody. I remember when I first started working, I worked at People Incorporated, been there for 11 years. I remember the first thing it says, since you're a pastor, you can't preach here. I said, okay, I won't preach here. But it was amazing when certain people that I work with, like a young lady that was ready to have a miscarriage, ready to go to ER, said, can you pray now? I can't. No, you can't. No, I can't. You can pray. I give you permission. Remember one of my bosses, she came down with breast cancer, and we wanted to have time. Well, you're the pastor. Let's all go in the nurse's office, lock the door, and let's all pray. And the nurse was a Christian, too. And they let me proceed in prayer. I said, is anybody going to file anything in HR? I just want to let you know I'm not going to pray unless it's okay with all seven of you. You can pray. Oh, yeah, that's how it is today. But you have people walking in, and they're flaunting all their stuff, and they accommodate for them. But the Christian can't pray over the lunch. The Christian can't pray for a need, can't console somebody. You got to take it out to the parking lot. For real. Listen, back in the day, we were handing out little Bibles. And when I went to Lafayette High School, my last senior year, little Bibles out there. I was sent to the office and I got detention for 1 week. Say, why is that? But guess what's happening right outside the door every month for going into summer, like April, May, and June. The AFL-CIO, what is that thing called? They're handing out condoms. Yeah, they're handing out condoms. I'm handing out Bibles. Little mini, and they're handing out condoms. This is what I'm trying to say. It's been subtle and constant, okay? But I found some ways how we can work around all that. Let them give them their space. And it's like, for instance, when we used to preach at the Italian festival, it used to be on Hurdle. We couldn't do it inside there, so we went off right across the barriers. We preached across the street, and they couldn't do nothing with us. Started passing out, preaching, pass out tracts. You find ways around the loop. I remember we were preaching at the corner where their church at, and they said, you can't preach here. Why? Because there's a bus stop there. Okay, great. So we walked over to one more corner, wait for the bus stop, and we preached. He goes, no, you can't preach. We're waiting for the bus stop. And lo and behold, next month, the bus stop got moved eight houses down. So we went back where we originally were already. And it was funny because we're in front of that Louis Lounge right there in the corner. And guess who owns it? Some biker gang. Oh, you can do anything you want. They gave me permission to do it, but I couldn't do it because the NFTA bus stop was there. I'm just trying to say that they always make an excuse for nothing to be offensive, but there's so much offense. The megaphone thing. I don't have a megaphone. And the guys, well, you're too loud. And also this guy pulls up all his rap music going, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. I go, what about him? Right? I mean, we want to sit there, we want to discriminate on one and the other. I'm just telling you, it's just sometimes God brings things to bring to control logic, you know? This is logical things. How's good for one, but not for the other? But that's where we're at today. And I want to encourage you to continue on. The Lord did say that if they hate me, they're going to hate you, right? Those try to shut you down, but listen, you can put a smile on your face. Like this man had a contentment. He had a little bit, his faith was being tested. He had a little bit of ounce of fear, but he had faith. But he had faith that was being tested. He had contentment, and he was according to the will of God. He knew that something God's going to turn around and make it all better. I guarantee it. I looked at it right there. That was his pastor saying, look it, I saw gluten-free in that thing. Why don't you promote your gluten-free? I would, because there's a lot of places that don't do that, right? What about doing like wholesale cupcake things? Those ideas they could do for stuff like, I mean, for fundraisers, right? I mean, all kinds of stuff. And you go by, listen, I'm just telling you, God can do miracles when you make a stand. Continue on. Here, first thing I want to encourage you for is continue in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Continue in faith. How many here, your faith was tested in the last 5 to 10 years? And what did you do? Did you get into despair? Did you go into discouragement and despair? Did you get into desperation? Or did you go ahead and get on your knees and pray and seek God's face? And did God reveal an answer to that? See what I'm saying? So if God could do that back then, God could continue doing it further. Did you grow from that? Did you get closer to Him from that? continue in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue in faith. You need to. You know why? Because every time your faith gives test, it's something even greater. Hey, yea, a man may say thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee my faith by my works. These people say all the time, why do you do what you're doing? Don't you just want to quit? Why? It's not worth it. Listen, there's been plenty of times where I wanted to shut down the ministry. But then God comes along and someone gets saved or people start coming in. You know, I don't know if we're going to be able to take care of it. Also, God gives us that money in a matter of 12 days. I was sharing some of the photos of our roof. Our roof was leaking. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. We might have to close it all down. We might have to get out of the sanctuary. So it's leaking. It's already coming in the corner. We have to shut down the whole thing and go in the basement. I don't know what to do. And they had a guy come over and measure it all up. Got an idea how much it's all going to cost. Got a couple other contractors involved. One of the contractors had to go out in Nevada to go work on another church. And the pastor out there in Nevada found out that why he needed to get back in time for whatever, wrote out a $3,000 check for our cause. Amen. The second contractor went ahead and rallied up 33 bottles for free and 6 or 7 ice and water and this and that. And other thing. Another guy goes, well, you can use my account at the dump for the dump, all the debris. I mean, things are fun, all in 12 days. I'm like, oh my God, I think God wants the church to stay alive. And I guess we're going to do it. So I walked into work. He goes, I'm off the second week of November. He goes, what do you mean? I'm not going to be here. I haven't taken a vacation since August, and I haven't only take 2 a whole year. This is my second one. He goes, what do you mean? Nope, I'm not going to be here. I'll have everything ready for the audit. I'm gone. Yep, and this fat guy was on the roof. And it took a month to get recovered from that thing, man. Whoo, man. We're out there. God provided. God gave us an opportunity to be a blessing to his house by fixing that roof. I got pictures. You want to see it afterwards, okay? I'm just trying to say, listen, God, if you continue by faith, God will provide. God will show you. God will lead you. God will make a way possible. It says here in Ephesians chapter 3 that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in the love. Listen, if you love the Lord and you love God's people and you love God's ministry, you know what the cause of Christ is, your faith will grow. See, many times people think faith is only to get. Faith is love to give. We want to keep that church house open so we can continue loving those sinners in that area. Minister to those that do come in that want to call that place their church. Faith gives. Faith doesn't get. My people think that God's a genie. You got to rub it, you know, and all of a sudden you're going to get all these wishes. No. Sometimes you got to sit there and put that faith in action and do it out of love. Remember? Listen, when we stand before God, it ain't going to be nothing about how lined up we are, how perfect we are. We're not going to be perfect. One time we're going to be perfect when we see Him face to face. But that love, matter of fact, God already sees us as perfect. You know that, right? Christ lives inside of you. He sees His righteousness. But we, at our standard, we don't need to be perfect. Okay, we just be Christ-like. That's an everyday. We have to die daily to be that. But our love will motivate us each day to try to give ourselves to the Lord to become what we need to become by faith because of that love. It says there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Hey, continue thou in the faith. If faith has worked so far in your life, continue thou in them. Amen? Continue in faith. There's going to be another obstacle, another hurdle. There's going to be something that's going to face your life. I'm going to tell you it's going to take even greater faith than you ever used before, and you're going to have to practice it, and you're going to have to yield to it, and you're going to have to give to yourself to the Lord, and you're going to have to be prayer and fast and all kinds of stuff. But faith is going to be the thing you've got to continue on. We don't know what we're going to face here in America. Have no idea. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know I'm going to continue on. I know there's another soul that needs to get saved. I know there's another saint that I can drag along and encourage, lift up to keep moving forward. I know sooner or later, I'll sit there and keep looking. And I'm like, hey, Brother Dave, when the clouds get nice and cloudy up there, I'm going to look just for, you know, grins and giggles. It might be one of those clouds, he might be on it, blowing that trumpet. I'm gone. Okay? And guess what you're going to have to do? Nope. You're going to have to live with me up in eternity. How you like that one? So you better put up with me now. Amen. You're going to have me all for eternity. And can I tell you this thing? This evening, continue thou in faith. Number two. A very lost art right here. I came out of a church and a Christianity back in the day that was, I'm going to use the term, don't get offended now. Okay, you ready? Legalistic. True legalism is adding anything on to salvation, okay? But I kind of got frustrated when people sit there and say, brother, you saved? They really meant it. I go, yeah, are you? Man, I can't believe you were there. I go, where? You went to Applebee's. Yeah, I went to Applebee's. But there's a bar in there. Was I at the bar? No, I was in a booth having some cheap steak. Do you hear what I'm saying? And they're questioning my salvation because I was at Applebee's eating a steak at a booth because they had a bar in it. I said, well, let's go together next time. Off my treat. Well, I mean, was he asking for an invitation or something? I don't know. I like harassing all of them because they're fun to mess with because they get all combobulated. Listen, everybody picturing like that, tell them to call Pastor Pete. I'm good at that stuff. I love that stuff. But as I was saying, stuff like that. Brother, you weren't there Saturday going soul winning. Are you backsliding? Yep. Sure am. How about you? Yeah, exactly. I love that stuff. I thrive on that good stuff. Why? Because I'm not like you. Listen, my wife can't handle two of me. There's no cloning. I'm not going to clone anybody to be like Pastor Pete Wigg. There's only one of me. There's two. My wife, oops, goodbye. You know? It can only be one of me. But we lost. Everything had to be just right. Everything had to be this way. Everything had to be according to the beat of the drum. Where had to be like more like Christ? Where does grace fit in? I mean, even the phone companies, they give you a little bit of grace period, don't they? Can you give me 3 more days? I get paid Friday, I'll pay it. Okay, that's all you get is 72 hours and you got to pay. You get more grace from the phone company than you do sometimes from churches. Give you a little bit of room to get adjusted. Hey, let me tell you something. Look at their church ain't molding you. The pastor ain't molding you. I know the Holy Spirit is. That's the one that should be molding us. Amen? And so all I could do is when the people, in order to show some grace, I used to pray with them. Lord, intervene. Lord, do great things in that person's life. Blah, blah, blah. Pray and, you know, get the Lord on that thing, right? But I'm going to tell you, we've come, we're messed up. The deeper I got in this thing, I go, man, some crazy people in Christianity. What do you mean? I said, they're going to need, listen, I preach a message. Man, one time I come back and preach. I tell you, listen, lose your mind, I preach. You time to lose your mind. What? Yeah. Whole theme is lose our mind so you get the mind of Christ, okay? So don't think I'm preaching something psychotic, okay? We sometimes got to lose our thinking. We got to learn how we see things so we can see through the eyes of God. We got to lose our mind sometimes. And sometimes hitting rock bottom in Christianity, hitting down in the dumps where you're no longer holding on. Listen, I'm a person that's very analytical. Okay, I really am. I drive my wife crazy. I have everything all planned out and all the equations and all the dots and all the equal signs, everything out there. And guess what? When we get ready to endeavor and engage, it all goes up. Because God has something to do. God goes, nope, I got a different plan for you. I go, what is it? Just watch. I want you to do this first. Okay, what's the second one? You'll see. And then he just strings me along right to the very end. And I'm like, you know, on pins and needles. It's called faith. He's trying to give me more faith. Amen. That's how it usually is. And a lot of people have no grace with me, and I have no grace with myself. We just need grace. Amen. Turn over to 2 Peter, if you could, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. I've learned some things being saved for 27 years that I don't have all the answers. And I could tell people anything and everything, all the good advice I want, it doesn't mean they're going to listen to it. But I can look at them and sit there and go, listen, I know I'm going to give you some good godly advice. I'm going to show you some scriptures. I don't know if you're going to listen. If you do, like I do this all the time. I don't know if you do it, Pastor Sherb, but I do it all the time. Like, we'll get a Bible study on Thursday. I go, hey, everybody remember what I preached on Sunday? Because I got a couple extra thoughts. I go, they sit there and I go, and I love that. Let me get the generic. When you hear the generic one, I guess the funny ones. The Bible. Yeah, no kidding. I preach out of the Bible. God's love. Yeah. Okay. No. You're all wrong. And I have to give them a refresher what I just preached on here 4 days ago. And they're taking notes like you are, too. Unless they're doing their grocery list. I don't know. But they're making, goes, I saw you making notes. I go, yeah, but it's in my other Bible. I'm like, oh. You know? So I have to refresh them from Sunday to get them back on Thursday. Amen? But one of the greatest things that I know is that as I grow in the Lord, I'm wondering why has God has changed my mind and changed my perception of things. Well, here it is right here. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, says this, yea, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from our steadfastness. But grow in what? Grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be in the glory both now and forever. There's something about that grace. When I hear things go down, when I hear things was happening, I sit there and I try to be gracious about it and say, I know for a fact I'm not getting all the facts. I know all the facts ain't in. I'm going to guarantee you, whatever a person going to tell you, listen, when I have to deal with people with drug addictions and all that kind of stuff, when they're telling me, I already know I'm getting half of it, if maybe less. I look them straight in the eyeball and I say, I know you're going to tell me everything, but I can only go off and help you what you're going to tell me. That's all I can give you. Until you get totally honest with it, all on the table, I can't help you. I sent people to prison right from my office. So I'm running from the law. I have 4 warrants out for arrest. And I give them the phone. I go, call them now. You need to turn yourself in. Start clean. They look at me and go, I'm serious. What are you running from? What are you hiding from? They gave me all the reasons. It's okay. Then call your daughter now. Let her know you love her. Yeah. Right from my office. And then the cops will come and says he has 4 warrants out for arrest. He shows his ID. Boom. The cops take him away. And start clean. We had a guy that was, his name was Mike Southworth. We used to call him Shrek. If I show you a picture of him, he's Shrek. He's bigger than Dave. He's balder than Dave. He's bigger than Dave, and he does concrete for a living. He's a big boy. But he's a putty cat. Dragged him out of crack house after crack house after crack house. He tried to embezzle money from his own mother and grandmother. Called me up there crying. I go, where are you? I'm in Delaware. And was it George, Delaware? And I don't know, something right there where Arby's is. Where's that at? Allen. Okay. There's an apartment complex. He was up in there. So I said, okay, I'll be right down there. This is Saturday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. Man, I go up that early. My goodness. They're down there at 8 o'clock. I'm in the back seat of mom and grandma's car. Tell him when he comes in, something going to the back seat. Why? Because I'm here. Oh, okay. Comes out of the apartment, gets in the back seat. I pop up and go, what are you doing? Hey, will you low down? No good. And I push him out of the car. I said, you two can go home. He was all mine now. Shrek. Me and Shrek on Delaware Avenue.
You're out of your mind.
Okay? In his face. That's how we do it. That's how a city preacher does it, okay? I just want them to look different, okay? I own them up. I just tied a man up. I said, hey, you have no good. You embezzling money out of your grandmother, your 80-year-old grandmother? Right in his face and get into it. He goes, what's wrong with you? He goes, I owe this man. He goes, listen, you tell him to come out here. I got money for him. And you can pay me back. I'll work it out of you. So go get him. It's like I've already done before for years past. I did the same thing all the time. The preacher take care of the tab. So stay away from my people. I'm gonna get the lowdown on it. You're gone. I'll call the police. Get you a raid. You're out. Oh yeah. Talk to the neighborhood over in Garner. Go on Garner. When I was over in Garner, go talk to some of the people on those blocks. Remember, I talked to the neighborhood lady over there, neighborhood watch group lady. She'll tell you about Pastor Pete with all the drug dealers over there. Hey, listen. I'm gonna tell you right off the bat. Look it. You know what he's doing right now? Came to me and says, I got to turn myself in. I'm wanted in Elmira. I'm wanted over here. I'm on over here, another guy, and said, I'm going to turn myself in and start from scratch. Write me letters from prison, Amira prison down there. And so he lines up there and goes to Pastor Hack's church out down there now. And where is that? I don't know where that place is, but Beaver Dam. I don't know, somewhere down there. He's out there, you know, and he's loving the Lord. And keeps in contact with me. Won't come back to Buffalo. Won't even visit. You know the reason, because of the old, you know, old memories and stuff like that. He's doing good. Wife and kid. Doing concrete. Loving the Lord. Still big as ever. Ugly as ever. And he'll sit there and he goes, I still love you. I go, no, you do. When are you going to come visit me? I don't know. He's scared to come up. He'll pop in for one day and go. You know? Yeah, you just never know. It took some grace with that guy. When sin gets so despicable, and after a while you sit there, you see things so general. Grace is that gray area that you could be such as a letter of the law, right? But what you really need is some of the grace that comes along with it. And many times when you sit there and you're dealing with people and you're allowing God to even do, let me ask you this right here. How many times we fail the Lord? I remember we had a deacon. He used to yell at my kids from around the church. And got on me about my kids being disobedient and not listening to his elders and all that stuff. And then the past year, two of his kids became prodigal and very messed up. One went into the military and became a lesbian. The other kid was out there doing some other wickedness. Okay? And he was heartbroken. He's at the altar crying. Now I could sit there and say, this is the dude, this is the deacon dude that was bashing me about my kids. No, I didn't do that. Walk up to the altar, put my arm around him, and prayed at that altar for his two kids. Grace. That's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we sit there and we want to, I'm going to think I'm harder on myself than anybody else. But you know what? Thank God for his grace, his mercy, his love, or else I'd be dead by now. Amen? And then when you start growing in the Lord, you start seeing things, you step back a little bit and say, how would the Lord go ahead and take care of this? James chapter 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll attract more with honey than vinegar. You can be more of a help to somebody, or recognize their wrongdoings and their sin. You sit there and let them talk for a while, and you sit there and wait for your way to get in there and show them the error of their ways with a little bit of grace. A little bit of grace, and show them exactly where they need their help from. I'm just telling you. It's a little advice. When you get so angry, you get so mad, you get furious, you know? Especially when they're close to home, and they're people that you love dearly, where you have to step away, and you just want to sit there. You got that city party, you know what I mean? You just want to... all that stuff, but you can't. There's no Christ-likeness in that. And then you got to step back, and you got to give it to God with some grace. Hey, continue on with the faith, and the Lord just said, continue on with grace. You're going to need it. You're going to go so far, and you're going to need some grace to get you even further. Lastly, this. Continue in His love. Turn to John chapter 15, if you could. John chapter 15. In the book of Revelation, remember that church where the Lord said you left your first love? He dealt with all those churches. Everything had something going on there. And I just wonder myself, you know what? In the end, when we stand before the Lord, is it all by merit? Or is it all by love? Love covers a multitude of sins, does it not? I fail the Lord every day. I try my best, I really do. But I know He loves me despite of all my failures. So in return, all I'm going to do is I'm going to be motivated, I'm going to do everything I can for the love that I have for Him. Even though it's not perfect, even though it's not much, but I'm going to love Him right to the very end. And people will sit there and say, hey, you I mean, people can't understand truly what love is unless they know him first. And that love. This world thinks love is always taking and getting back some equal value. Am I right? They think marriage is 50-50. No, it ain't. It's 100%, 100%. Right? No, it's 50-50. No, it's 100%, 100%. Perfect example is our Lord. He gave 100% of himself on that cross, showed his love towards us. Now we need to give him 100% back, even though we fall short. He's okay with that. Here, in John chapter 15, verse 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my what? Now, you know what it said? My love. Didn't say your love. Not what you think love is. Not Hollywood love. Not the world's love. He said my love. Amen? My love. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. I'm all for brotherly love, because our church is called charity. Where I stop is that holy kiss thing. That can go away. I greet you with a holy kiss. That's okay. Handshake. Fist pump. That's the new thing. Fist pump, right? No holy kiss around here. Even though I'm Italian. At home is okay, but fist pump. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 said, but God commanded his love towards us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? So isn't it amazing, even though we were sinning against God, he still died for us and loved us? Why don't you think about that? There's people that have left our church, have left our ministry, right in the thick of it, have ruined their lives. They're not going to church. They're isolated on an island all by themselves. Bitter and angry at the whole world. And guess what? This preacher still loves them. We have an open door for them? Absolutely. They can sit there and get healed up, get groomed up, teach them, admonish them, lift them up, mold them, whatever I got to do. Amen? Wait for they get ready and they can put them right back and get excited about the things of God. These are people that used to have a smile on their face serving the Lord, making a great difference in the cause of Christ, all that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to tell you, continue in his love. His love forgives. His love surpasses all understanding. His love motivates to go to the nth degree. His love is there. Hey, three things here. So I want to encourage you with is continue on. You're going into 2018, a new year. You're probably going to be facing greater opposition than you did in 2017. Your faith will be tested, but continue thou in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to sit there and realize you're going to go through some stuff, and your temper's going to get up, your flesh is going to rile up. But listen, I'm going to ask you to continue in his grace. You're going to have some things here where your love is going to be tested. You're going to have bitterness rising up and anger rising up. You're going to sit there and your love's going to be tested, even maybe with family members. Okay? Even the church house. I'm going to tell you, continue in his love. This evening, I want you to continue on. Continue on. It says here, again, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen? You've found some great things here that the Lord has gone. He wants you to continue on. Continue. What a great advice that Paul gave to his folks. If you could, turn one last verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. In conclusion, I think we can go ahead. Can I tell you something? We can go ahead and maintain this continuance in the Lord Jesus Christ and what you're doing in the faith if you crucify and die daily. Amen? I really do. I really believe that. Because you're going to have to let go of yourself. Remember now, you're not making your Christianity. You're not. It's not in your control. It's in the Holy Spirit's control. Allow him to do the work in you. Amen? And then you got to contend. I heard that Pastor Lou Godano was talking about fight the good fight, contending. You're going to have battles. Listen, can I tell you something? In Christianity today, I'm not talking about with fists or whatever and weaponry and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know about you, but we're a type of Christianity today, in this day and age, where we clam up too quick. We don't make a stand too often. We can't discern right from wrong. We're in a heap of trouble. But can I tell you, this evening, we need to contend for the faith. It talks about in Jude, verse 3. And then lastly, we need to finish our course. Amen? We need to keep pressing on. We need to continue pressing on and hit that mark. Until that trumpet sounds, until you see Jesus face to face, we need to continue on. I'll close with this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Can I tell you, one of the greatest things we can do is be unified, stay focused, and continue on. It's only be based on the love that we know that God has for us and we have for him and his people. Amen? Continue on. Thank you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, again, thank you so much for this time. Lord, I pray that you bless this message. Lord, as many Christians have fallen away and many Christians have quit on God and many Christians have just said, "I'm done," it ain't worth it. Lord, I pray that we don't be one of them. And Lord, I pray that we can continue on doing a great work, falling in love with you each and every day as we crucify this flesh and continue serving you to all your glory and honor to that trumpet sounds, dear Lord. Thank you so much for the privilege of preaching to these fine folks this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Sherry.
Thank you. Turn your handbooks to page 484, if you would. I'm not ready to sing yet, but you can stand. I'm just going to warn you, if I can, as your pastor. All of those things are good, and all of those things are absolutely necessary. Job said, "I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Until or unless you get there, you're not going to love the brethren until you love Jesus. Let me say that in a different way. You're not going to continue in God's word to be a disciple. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." You can't be a disciple until you continue in God's word. That's where it begins. We have to get to know God. Then all those other continues can happen. It starts there. It starts there. 484 in your hymn book.